likeness, and I've titled this one, The Purposes of God. Isaiah chapter 43:7 says this, even everyone that is called by my name. Are you called by his name? If you've been baptized, you've been called by his name. For I have created him or her for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And that we will be getting back to that verse probably next week. But God created us for his glory. And those of you who were here on Tuesday night, I spoke a little bit about the glory of God, that we were created to be his image and to be in his likeness. But before I bring it all together, I just want to talk about some other things first. And this is kind of runs in from last week. I talked about babies. We had that baby dedication last week, and I explained about the Book of Life and about innocence. And since it's related, I thought I would continue on that thread, that I think that there are, you could say, three kinds of perfection. Right? There are three kinds of perfection. And I'm going to explain what I mean. Deuteronomy 1:39, which was the verse I used last week, says, moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. And I explained that one of the perfections or the innocence is little babies. They have no knowledge of good and evil. They're not sin conscious. They're not going to be condemned. They're not going to hell, I explained last week. So the first kind of perfection is due really to innocence. It's a perfection due to that a little baby has. It's really the perfection that Adam and Eve had when they were created. They were in innocence. They had no knowledge of good and evil. The Bible in Matthew 18:14, and I didn't give this scripture last week, but it says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Not the will of your Father that they should perish. And the reason is because they have a perfection, and it's a perfection, I call it, due to innocence. But there are some other perfections that are there. Now, this one was, as I said, I believe what Adam and Eve had when they were created. They were in innocence. Genesis 1:31 explains that, and God saw everything that he had made. And, of course, a lot of people don't read that verse when they're, you know, taught that Satan had rebelled and he'd already sinned. But at the end of the sixth day, at the end of creation, there was nothing in God's creation that was not perfect. That included Lucifer as he was then. It says God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So Adam and Eve were in a perfect state, but their perfection was the same as a baby. They had no knowledge of good and evil. It was not a perfection due so much to choice. Because to choose something, you have to know about it. Right? You can't really usually choose something you know about. You may blunder into something, but it wasn't a choice. It was an accident. You didn't know. But to choose something based upon knowledge, you have to know. So their innocence was based, if you want to call it ignorance to a certain extent. So their perfection was through obedience, though, but based on innocence, because God told them not to eat of the fruit. So up until they did it, they were perfect through faith. They didn't understand, but they were obedient. So their innocence was based upon obedience, but it was still innocent. It was like a baby. So theirs is a little bit different from a baby per se, because a baby doesn't even understand obedience. Isaiah chapter 28:9 explains that. It says, whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That means you can't even teach a baby doctrine or knowledge, because they can't even understand it. Their innocence is based upon pure lack of understanding. You can't even teach a baby. The Bible makes it plain that. So they didn't have the knowledge of good and evil, and they didn't have the capability to even understand what that meant. All they had was to obey. You know, many times, and I'm like this, I'm hard-headed. And my son, who was here last week, he would fall into that category too. To obey, we want to know why. We want it explained to us. Well, this is why. And then we make our own little judgment. Say, okay, yeah. Or no, that doesn't make sense. I'm not doing that. But Adam and Eve did not have that capability. They just obeyed out of pure faith. They did not totally understand what it was, but they just trusted. And that is the best kind of faith, because we don't want to learn the stove is hot through actually touching it. It's better to learn through obedience that it will hurt you. And most of the time, though, we want to, but why? Why? How? We want it all explained to us and everything justified. And most of us who are like that, hard-headed, you know what God does? He lets us touch the stove. And then we don't ask anymore. Okay, I get it, Lord. I get it. So in the Old Testament, it said that you can't even come to knowledge until you are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. And in the New Testament, it says the same thing in Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that's interesting, because there it's saying that through experience we've learned, or some people have learned, what's good and what's not so good. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we see Adam and Eve, who were not babies like a baby, you know, on milk, but still were not cognizant, were not understanding of the tree of knowledge of good and evil fully. But then we see the second Adam, who's the second Adam? Jesus Christ. Now look what the scripture says about him and the difference between him and the first Adam. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And it says butter and honey, but it's really curds or yogurt, if you want to put it into modern terms. And honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. This is the first hint to show that Jesus Christ, his perfection was going to be different from Adam and Eve's, in that he had the knowledge of good and evil, but yet without sin. His perfection or image was what Adam and Eve should have developed to. A baby should not stay a baby forever, right? If there's something wrong, right? It's okay for a baby to be in diapers, but a 21-year-old in diapers? Something wrong, right? So a baby can be perfect for doing a baby stuff, but there's something wrong if you got a 21-year-old walking around in diapers, unless there's some, you know, medical deficiency, but otherwise it should be different.
I just have a question. So when you're born of the water and of the Spirit, it doesn't mean that, I know you don't have all understanding right away. You have to come into the knowledge. You have to make yourself know. It's not that because you have the Spirit, you know everything now. A lot of people misunderstand that.
Absolutely. It's a growth. It's a journey. As I quoted so many times, Paul in Philippians, which was the last book he wrote before he was executed, he was in prison, said, it's not that I have attained, right? Even the great apostle Paul said, it's not that I have attained, but I press. And he says, if by any means I should attain.
You quoted the scripture Tuesday. Jesus grew in, what was it, stature and knowledge, whatever.
So this flesh is a limitation for us. And even after we become born again, there is still a growth, and that's also what the scripture in Hebrews is saying. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. That means once you have the Holy Spirit, you have to start putting it into practice. so that what I couldn't deal with 10 years ago, I hope today I can deal with, right? Or else I haven't grown. There's something not right there. I'm still in my baby stage. I'm still on milk. After you get, you know, most of you mothers, when you have a baby and you're nursing them, at some point you start to put the potty out there. By that time, you're quite tired of the Pampers, right? And you're thinking, man, if this two-year-old will start, just you know, look at how much money now we could save. Those of you who have that age kid, that's what you're thinking. The next, man, look at how many Pampers we could save. Because you want to get them to the next stage, right? You want to get them to the next stage. Then after that, well, maybe you start to see if you hold their hands and see them, you know, struggle to walk. And then I can remember the very first time my oldest son walked. I remember we were in the front room. And he actually could have walked a long time ago. But he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. And so he just, when he did walk, he just started walking from that point on. Because it was like, I can do this. And it's the same thing with your Christian birth. Lots of things when you get the Holy Spirit, you don't realize that you can do because you're afraid. But if you start to exercise it, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. That's the reason why we all wish we could go back in time and change stuff, because we think now we've grown, that we know better, that we could make better choices. But the point I'm trying to make here is that Jesus grew into a different kind of perfection than Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve, they gained the knowledge of good and evil before they could deal with it. Jesus, it says here, back in the scripture here, where did I go here? It says that he would know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So his perfection was based upon the knowledge of good and evil, but he was able to pass the test where Adam and Eve was not. Let me go in a little bit different. So his perfection was through obedience, but this time was based upon knowledge. He knew the difference between good and evil, but so his perfection was based upon knowledge. Look at this. And the reason why, and we're talking about the image and likeness, I believe is found in John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. If Adam and Eve had stayed focused on the Father, remember what I said about navel gazing? We have to be looking unto Jesus. That's the only way we can get through, because we now have the knowledge of good and evil. And if we look at ourselves, we're going to mess up. We're going to fail. Jesus himself gave the example of how to do this. He says the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. Now, that means symbolically, he was always looking at the Father. The flesh was always looking at the Father. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So let me go over the three types of perfection if you missed it. There's a perfection like a baby, which is innocence. And it's just, that's all it is. It's innocence. It's not even the ability to choose. Then there's the perfection of Adam and Eve, which they had innocence, but they also had the ability to be obedient. You can be obedient without understanding. Did you know that? That was their perfection. They did not understand totally the whole consequences or what it would mean, but they knew enough to be obedient. And then, of course, the last type of perfection is Jesus, who had both the full knowledge, but was still obedient. And the only way to do that, as I said, is found in John 5:19. That he said the Son can do nothing of himself. When we start looking at ourselves and our capabilities and our talents, we're doomed. We're doomed. That's why I've been striving lately to just throw everything on God. Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this, this, and this all at the same time. I can't do this, this, and this all at the same time. Lord, you're going to have to help me out. And you know what? This week he did. He put together this thing and gave it to me. I have a picture on my phone. I had to take a picture because it looks so spectacular. As long as they don't ask me too many questions, it's going to look really good. Because I had nothing to do with it. I was given it. God is so awesome. I just have to just keep, because I couldn't do it. And I know I couldn't do it, and I just kept praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do next week. They're renting out this Pfister. They're giving us tables, and we're going to put on this show, and all these chairman of the board and executive of the company is going to be walking around and expecting something. All I'll have is like a picture, you know, like a PowerPoint. And all these other people will have all this stuff looking very fancy. And the Lord just did it for me. I just had to say, Lord, thank you for loving me. He will. He will. So there's a perfection that's just an obedience where you don't have to understand, you just obey. The centurion that came to Jesus had that kind of faith. He didn't understand but he said, I am a man under authority. So I understand that all you have to do is speak the word. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it happens. But I understand authority, and you don't even have to come to my house. The Bible said that Jesus marveled. He marveled. Do you know the second time he marveled? Does anyone remember the other story when he marveled at faith? The Syrophoenician woman. So the two times that Jesus marveled, they were both Gentiles. One was a Roman soldier, one was a Syrophoenician woman. Both, that's the only time it said that Jesus marveled, and they were not Jews. Because the Jews thought they had it. The Jews thought they understood it. They thought they had the knowledge, and because of that, they were making their own judgments. You understand? But when you know you don't have it, and you can't do it, then you have to rely on his judgment and his mercy and his grace. The Roman soldier knew that he didn't understand. All he knew is that he'd heard Jesus could heal. And he trusted and believed and said, you don't even have to come. I understand authority. Just speak the word. And when we try and work things out, if I had spent all weekend, which I couldn't, but if I had tried to spend all weekend at work trying to put something, it would not have been as good as what I've been given free. I'm just telling you. I give God glory for that. And when we stop looking at ourselves and say, Lord, I can't do this. There's no way I can make. I tell you that every time I've come to the end of my rope and said, Lord, it's your time now. I can't do this. It's impossible. I can't. I have no resources to make this happen. When you truly come to God in humility and you're his child and you have come with a heart, with a repentant heart and a heart, God will show up. All I can tell you in my experience, he always has. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but he did it. Amen. So what was God's plan? We see that Adam and Eve were created with a perfection that was based upon innocence, but also had obedience. What was God's plan? Well, God's plan was that Adam and Eve not stay that way, that they were to gain the knowledge of good and evil, but at a time when they could handle it by looking on God, not looking on their own judgment. Ephesians 4:13 tells us this. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and what? The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, Christ had the full knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said Tuesday in the Bible study, Luke, it said he grew in stature, knowledge, and wisdom. And the reason is that henceforth we be no more children. The innocence that we have, we can't stay that way. Yes, we are born innocent, but we're not going to be able to stay that way. We're going to have to choose. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's a lot of deceivers out there. There's a lot of preachers telling you, in essence, you can be God. Just send me some money, I'll send you this washcloth, and amazing things will happen. Of course, they're doing it on Facebook now. And I really hate this, where they say, you press like and all these good things are going to happen. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Facebook has nothing to do with God. God works through faith in him. You see, the Bible always wanted Adam, or God's plan for Adam and Eve, was for him to grow. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Into who? Into Christ. Into him. In all things, which is the head, even Christ. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. Image and likeness. Adam and Eve were like a baby is to a full-grown adult. Yes, they have the potential, but that's not the end result. When you're born into Christ, you're just like that. You have the potential, but don't please stay there for the next 10 years. You have to grow, and you have to learn. That means when a baby starts to walk, what are the first things they do? How do they start to walk? You're going to fall down a few times. But there's no baby I know that will stay down. They've seen other people do it. They want to do it too. I've seen some other people walk, and God bless them. I want that same blessing in my life. So if they can do it, if God can bless me, he can bless you. If he can make things appear out of nothing, he can do it for you. If he can heal someone over there supernaturally, even if the first time I try and pray and it doesn't happen and I stumble, I'm going to get up and try again. Until I start walking. Right? Genesis 17, and one of my favorite verses, walk before me, Abraham, and I declare you perfect. Well, Abraham didn't walk perfectly. He did all kinds of stuff. But at the end, God called him his friend. And he says, I know him. I know Abraham now. He's going to teach his children. He's going to command them. And so when we're born again, it is a growth. Adam and Eve were babies. They were son of God, but they were in the baby stage. And unfortunately, because they were deceived, their growth became stunted. They never achieved the fullness. And so God had to bring someone else. As we read in Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive and have a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And he became the perfect example because, as it said in Luke on Tuesday night, Bible said he grew in wisdom and stature. And the whole point is that God's plan for us is to grow into his image. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Are you growing? Can you handle stuff you couldn't handle last year? I hope so. Hope you're not going backwards now. They have some diseases that make people age prematurely. We don't want any of that in the Christian realm. They have some diseases that stunt your growth, that there's some horrible things out there where the child does not develop and the growth does not occur. But if you've been feeding upon the Word of God, if you have been practicing your Holy Spirit and trying to walk, You will walk. As I said, I remember when Matthew first started to walk and he realized he could walk without us holding him. He started not walking, he started running. He just kept running between us. He would run to Yvonne and then run back. And he did that all in the same day because he could have walked before. But he didn't try it out. He was used to us holding him. And then finally, when I let him go and he found out he could walk, he didn't walk anymore. He started running. He started enjoying the fact that he was able to run. Wouldn't it be great when you start to stretch out in faith on God and find out he's there, that you can actually not just walk, but you can run? See, that means you're growing into his image and likeness. It took the disciples 3.5 years plus the 50 days before they were endued with power and they realized that they could do the same things that Jesus had told them that they were going to be able to do. So when Peter and John went up to the temple, they said, we don't have any money, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And they tried out their Holy Spirit power and it worked. Hallelujah. So the purpose of God, we're talking about his image and likeness, the purpose of God. What's the definition of God? In one word. You're all right, Sister Tara. love. The purpose of God, God is love. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, I've been writing some little threads, and I'm going to slowly try and bring them together. You see, remember, I'm talking about the image and likeness. So God is love, and what God wants us to be is his image and likeness. That means God wants us to be love. Now, when I say God is love, I'm saying more than when you love someone. Because you can love someone and then not love someone. Did you know that? It's always shocking to me, you see these divorces where people have been together for 20 years or 25 years, and then they get divorced. You think, well, yeah, how did that happen? Well, in my puny mind, I figure that actually they were actually staying together for other reasons. That it wasn't that just suddenly they didn't love each other, that happened a long time ago. But you see, we as humans, because we have lost the spirit covering originally, we are not by nature love. So we can change. So I'm trying to draw a very big distinction between God's nature and our nature. When I'm saying God is love, I'm saying that's his nature. He cannot change that. He cannot, it's part of his nature. It'd be like, you know, let me try and think. It'd be like you deciding to cut off your hand. None of us would willingly choose to do that, would we? No. God's nature, his very essence, he doesn't have I'm trying to put this as strong as I can. God does not have a choice about love because that's part of his definition. Do you understand what I'm saying? The difference between God and us is that by nature, we're not necessarily love. For us, love has to be a choice. That's the point. We are not by nature love. We have to choose love. We have to choose love. God by nature is love. He cannot be but love. That's his definition. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I'm talking about the image and likeness. I'm going somewhere with this. If you be patient with me, you say, where is he? What is he talking about? So love is God's essence. He doesn't have a choice about that. He can't help it. He can't fall out of love is what I'm saying. We can. We can. We have a choice about love, but God cannot. Even when people are going to be lost, it doesn't mean that God changes his love to them. What it means is that they have rejected his love. His love has not changed. About 3 years ago, I taught a whole lesson on love, and I said, God's love is like a chain. A chain is extremely strong in pulling, but it has no strength in pushing. God cannot push you, love. But if you will hold on to the other end, he can pull you. That's God's love. You know, you can have these chains that can lift many, many tons. God's love chain is very, very strong. It can pull, but for it to pull, you know what you have to be doing? You have to be holding on. You refuse to hold on. It doesn't matter how strong God's chain is. There's nothing on the other end. It's not God's weakness. It's the fact that you refuse to hold on. A chain cannot push anything. It can only pull. So that's the difference, is that God's nature, his very essence, is love. Even for the people who are lost, God's love for them has not changed. It's the fact that they never responded to the love. They never held on to the chain. So God cannot be otherwise than love. And this is a very important difference in image and likeness. So let's go to the love verse. I think it's the best definition of love that there is. I just said love is selfless giving is God. That's what God has done. He's self. If you were here Tuesday night, remember what I said about how God created. He had to give of himself. He had to subtract himself. He had to give in order to create. So 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to start at verse 4. It says, love suffers long. God is kind. That's God. Love does not envy. That's God. Love does not parade itself. That's God. Is not puffed up. That's God. Does not behave rudely. Can't force love. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We have a lot to live up to say we are love, right? I don't meet that standard. Let me confess, there's sometimes I don't like people. Pray for me. My wife is saying, why did he say that? I have to pray that God gives me love. You see, that's the difference between me and God. God can't be but. He will look at the worst human individual, and he's looking at that person as what they could have been. He's remembering what they were when they were born, innocent, pure, and what they could have been. And that's what must grieve him to his heart. How did this person choose to be the way they were? Me, I'm looking at that person as they are, and I say, I don't want to be anywhere near them. See, because my essence right now is not quite like God's. But that's the goal. That's the goal. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. I'm so glad. I am so glad that God's love towards me has never failed. That chain is still as strong and is pulling if I will hold on. Sister Joanne.
Praise the Lord. Yesterday, you know, I was just lounging around the house, and you can just feel the Lord say, go to the church. And, it's Saturday. You want to just relax a little bit. But it was very heavy on me to come to the church. And when I got here, Sister Tyra and Mother Haddon was outside. But there was a young lady there, and she was going through really, she was homeless and everything. We just got together. We just talked with her, encouraged her and things. And she just began to weep. She began to weep, and you can see the sincerity on her. And I was just being honest with you, being honest with her, like, are you going to use this for drugs and what so forth? And she did say when we took her to the hospital, she said, God really loves me. She said, it's my fault that I'm in the situation that I am. And I said, because you confess to God, he's going to make it work for you.
Amen. As I said, God's very nature is love. He cannot fall out of love. And that's the difference, as I said, between us and God. But there's a beautiful ending to this is where I'm going. So as I said, God by nature is love. Romans 8:39, you know this scripture says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As long as you will hold on to that chain, that can pull you out of anything. That chain has no weakness other than you holding onto it. That's what God's love is about. But here's, as I said, the important difference between us and God. God is not free to change his nature. You ever thought about that? God is not free to change his nature. Because if he was to change his nature, what would he now be? No longer God. God cannot change his nature, and the Bible tells us that. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. That's why it says, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What does it mean? It says, because I love you. If I could change and it would just be my wrath, you would be consumed. If I could not be love, this whole world could be just a vapor. Because of, take away God's love, what would be left? In his nature, wrath, anger at what the creatures he's created have done to his creation. Take away God's love, and if that was the only thing left was his wrath and anger, the earth would be a crisp. That's what he's saying in Malachi 3:6. Is because my love cannot change. Therefore, you Israelites, you Jews who have gone against me so many times, no matter what I've done for you, that's why you're not consumed. At that I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Because I failed you so many times. His essence, his very nature. We're talking about God's image and likeness. So, as you've heard me teach many times, God gave us sovereignty and dominion. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Man, originally when he was made in the image of God and in his likeness. That means we had the potential. Adam was in perfection, as I've explained, the perfection of a baby. He was perfect for what God created. But that was not to be the end. That was not God's end plan, that he stay innocent forever in the way he was. He was supposed to come, as we read in Ephesians, to the full measure of a son of God. And man was given dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Anything that was on the earth was under man's dominion. You know who that included? Man and, if Lucifer was on the earth, he was under man's dominion too. You know, that's why he couldn't come and take dominion. He had to deceive. Galatians 4 explains it. I didn't put it in here. Anyone can read Galatians 4, 1 for me, where Paul explains the whole situation when God set up the Garden of Eden. See, man was in charge, but man was still a baby. And so when a king has a son, the son, the baby is put in charge, is under who? Governors and nursemaids and nannies, right? It's the king's son, and he's going to be the ruler. But for now, since he's a baby, he's going to be under some nursemaids. But they know this is going to be the king. Anyone got Galatians 4:1 if they could read it out loud for me? Let me.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he. Though he be Lord of all.
Although he had been given dominion, was under.
But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
See, that explains the whole situation. Lucifer was in the garden, and he was there as a guardian, which is what cherubim means, guardian. And Adam, although he was the heir, was under guardianship until the time appointed by the Father. We lost our inheritance because of his disobedience. We lost our image. We lost our capacity to be in nature love like God. We gained the ability to choose whether to love or not. And you may think that's a good thing, but that's not what God intended. So man had full dominion originally, but when he obeyed the tutor and guardian, now we only have partial dominion. We still have choices. We can't blame everything on the devil. The devil made me do it. No, you still have some dominion. You still have some choice. So man's nature died. Ephesians 2:3, you see, God's nature, his essence, is love. Man's nature is different. We have the choice of love, but we are not by nature love. In fact, Ephesians 2:3 gives us that, among whom also we all had our conversation, that means our lifestyle, in times past, in the lusts, in the desires of this flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature. Our nature, our essence wasn't love, but our nature was children of wrath. That was proved pretty quickly, right? Lord, why did you accept Abel's sacrifice? He got mad and killed his brother. I mean, there's Adam. There's no doubt about creation. There's no doubt there's a God. And yet here is Cain showing the loss of the nature of love. If he had been by essence love, he could not have done what he did. He could not have killed his brother. His man's nature, essence, was no longer like God. We're by very nature love. But now we have the choice to love. That's the knowledge of good and evil. We have the choice to reject. And it says here in Ephesians that we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Scripture says we were dead in trespasses and sins. You all who are younger than 30, you don't understand old age. Death is not something that comes into your mind, though in Milwaukee maybe it does. You all saw that article about the shooting at the church at a funeral for another 18-year-old. Isn't that, you can tell that we're living in an age and a time where Satan is just getting mad. He's trying to destroy the whole village now. He's getting so mad. But we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So we, our nature, our essence, our likeness was not any more like God. We're not by essence love. In fact, we have jealousies, we have lusts, we have all kinds of mood swings and feelings and sharp elbows. And don't you step on, you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Don't you be looking at me like that. We are by nature children of wrath. But here's the good part. We can change. The good part for God is that God can't change. The good part for us is that we can. The three C's of life: choices, chances, and changes. You must make a choice to take a chance or your life will never change. You have got to choose to change. As I've said so many times, the definition of crazy is the people who keep doing the same thing and expect a different outcome. Won't happen. You have to say, wait a minute, I've been doing this 5 years. Nothing in my life is changing. I got to do something different. You know, that's why Green Bay, what's been happening with the football team this week? Anybody know? What's been happening on the news? They've been doing draft picks. Why do they do draft picks? Because you can't rest on the fact of last year. You want to do better. You're going to have to do a change. And that's why they fire managers, right? After so many years, the team keeps losing. Well, let's just keep going with the same plan, right? And what will happen? The team will keep losing. Sometimes they just change the manager because they change the manager. But if you look at your life and it's been the same spot for the last 5 years, you need to do something about it. The best thing to do about it is to say, Lord, you take my dominion. You take my choices. So let me explain something. Whatever you do, I said this before, and it wasn't my original statement. It comes from a Christian philosopher. His name is Greg Boyd. He said, but it's true. It's whatever you practice, you get good at. Isn't that true? That's why people practice. That's why you know, whatever you practice, whatever you keep doing for a long time, you get good at it. So if you're going to be a jerk, you do that, you'll be a really good jerk. You start stealing cars. After a while, you can look at the car and say, I can do that in 1 minute. Or that one will take 5 minutes. Whatever you do, whether it be good or evil, you get good at. Same thing with love. Whatever you practice, you will get good at. So that should tell you something right away. I better start practicing good stuff. You keep practicing negativity, you'll be a really negative person. No one will be wanting to be around you. So let's examine how our nature can change. We said God can't change, and we're glad for that because his very essence is love, right? But we do have the ability to change, and we need to make the choices that changes us in a good way. So we start by making choices. And if we keep doing the choices, the good choices, choices become habits. It becomes easier. Remember what I said, whatever you keep doing, you get better at it. Right? So choices, if we keep making the right choices, they become habits. They become easier for us and we don't even have to think about it. Right? Now, let me think. When I was like 11, I was with a group of about three or four kids. We were in, I think here would be grade school. So I had never stolen anything in my life. So we went into this confectionery store, and I was with these three kids. And they said, and it wasn't because they didn't have money or we didn't have money. So they said, okay, let's, they just wanted to be, have one over on the storekeeper, right? I'm glad I did not make that a practice. Because what, again, whatever you choose to keep on doing, eventually it will become a habit. And then if it's a bad habit, now you got a problem. Good choices will have good habits if you keep doing that. And then habits eventually become our character. We don't even have to think about it. We don't even have to think, that's our character. Now if I go into a confection store, I don't even think about stealing something. That's not it. That's not in my, that was 40 years ago. I did that one time. That's not in my character anymore. It's not, it doesn't even occur to me. It's not even something that would even remotely, because it's not something that I've chosen to repeatedly do. What I'm trying to show you is how we can become in the image and likeness. Remember, God's essence is love. That's his character. He can't but be that. But his plan for us is to get back to be his image and likeness. And how we start to do it is by making choices. Choices become habits. And then habits, after a while, it just becomes your character. It doesn't even occur to you to be thinking that kind of way about whatever. And our character, if maintained, then becomes our destiny. Now, of course, that sounds all good. And you can buy these self-help books that tell you how to do this. And most of the time it won't work. You know why? They're missing one thing. The Holy Spirit. It won't. You can go to AAA or AA or whatever it is. And they can do some help. But without God's Spirit, that last part about character becoming destiny won't happen. Won't happen. So man's nature changes through the Spirit. I'm running out of time. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So all of those things I said, choices becoming habits, habits becoming character, and then character becoming destiny, really will only happen if we have God's Spirit. You can go through some of those steps, but the last part, becoming our destiny, really won't happen without the Spirit of God. So why are you here? What is our purpose? I said this was all about the image and glory of God. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God wants us to be back into the image. So here's what I'm saying. If you start practicing through the Spirit and be obedient, that sequence that I just said, habits become character. Character will become our destiny. In other words, God is wanting us to be back so that our essence, our very nature is love, so that we are truly like him. It doesn't occur to us to be otherwise. See, that's what God wants, our very nature to be like him. I'm rushing here, but Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to what? Be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I didn't put it in here, but there's another scripture that says that Jesus is love. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, that we go back to what we should have been. That we by nature become love. That we can't be otherwise. That's where this journey that was his purpose in sending Christ, is so that we will change our nature through the Spirit, through starting to listen to the Spirit, that we will get back to being where our nature is like him. He says that they may be one, Even now, if we're going to be one with him and his nature and essence is love, that would leave us no alternative but that we would have to be the same way. That's how he says that you would know that ye are my disciples, because you show what? Love one unto another. That's God's purpose, and that's what gives him pleasure, when we allow our nature to be molded back into what he is. 1 John 4:16, if you could stand with me. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and here's the part. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So the purpose that God intended was for us to be in his image and his likeness. That means our very essence, our nature, would be like him. Adam was on the first stages of that. He was perfect, but perfect as a baby. Jesus is the full, finished example of what the Son of God should be like. In John 17, he said, I have manifested thy name, the name that thou gavest me, which Peter, through the Holy Spirit, declared as Christ, the Son of the living God. So God is wanting us to be, in essence, just like him. Amen. And what we have to do is start to be like that baby. Okay, I'm going to start walking. I might stumble, I might fall down, but I'm going to get back up. Because I know through the Spirit, I'm going to learn to walk. I'm going to learn to grow. I'm going to learn to give God all his due, because he has promised that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. So I want you today to be encouraged that you should start to use your Holy Spirit. If you've been struggling, you start to make choices. Lord, help me to make this choice. Help me to make this choice. And you'll find that after you start practicing to make the right choice, listening to the Spirit, it'll become easier. It'll be a habit. You won't even have to think about it. The devil will say, I just better not even go there, because they're not even listening to me. They're not even listening to me. And then habits will become your character. And then you're not too far from getting into that thing where your character will eventually, through the Holy Spirit, become your destiny. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that you can do it. We can't do it of ourselves, but through the Spirit, we can do all things. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to let this word, oh God, find good soil. Lord, your plan is for us to be loved, to be in essence and nature just like you. We ask you right now to give us the strength. Help us to make the first baby steps to start to walk according to your word. Lord, we just thank you right now for all that you're doing in our service. Lord, we ask you for blessing. Lord, that our attitude and our praise and our worship, Lord, will be with truth, hallelujah, because you seek true worshipers. Father, we just thank you right now for your goodness and your grace. Let this word touch and change hearts. Help us to change our choices, to give you all dominion. Father, we ask it in your name. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In his image and likeness. That's what he's called us to. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be friendly. Greet one another. And we'll start about 10 past 12. I believe the Lord has a word for us today. God bless you. Amen.